Now, I probably need to go back to around September 2017 and give a bit of background so that it all comes together. I had a left knee replacement at that time. I already had a half, and that had worn out. And so I underwent that surgery, and 3.5 weeks later, I was diagnosed with an infection. And it wasn't golden staph, although I did have a bit, but it was a new superbug. And there's no antibiotic on the market today that will kill that particular germ. So I underwent 6 weeks in hospital on intravenous antibiotics under a specialist by the name of Dr. P.C. Lee. And in my case, he experimented with me for all that period to see if he could control that infection. In most cases with this infection, if you have a prosthesis, it has to come out and you spend 3 months in a brace and try again. Well, my surgeon didn't want to have to operate on me again because he said, I've got you to 85%, and if we have to do it again, he said, I don't know what the outcome will be, but you certainly won't have great mobility. Now, it's not a matter of when all else fails, pray, but we did pray. And every morning, after I had breakfast, I'd spend my time with the Lord, giving thanks and praying to God and quoting a number of scriptures and claiming my healing. At the end of that 6 weeks, I walked out of that hospital, and it was to the amazement of all the medical staff and physicians, and particularly the infection PC Lee man. I shared with him it had become possible because of prayer, and God had healed me. Now, in my follow-ups with P.C. Lee, he said that this hadn't happened before, that I was able to walk out with that original prosthesis. But he said I'd have to be on an antibiotic orally for the rest of my life to try and control the infection, as it will break out again, not when or if, but it will. So I set on a path of regular checkups and prescriptions. In August 2018, I began to experience the commencement of pain in my right hip, and particularly in my groin and other parts of my body. And there were a lot of changes happening, and I underwent a whole series of x-rays, ultrasounds, and scans for some period of time. In February 2019, I had an x-ray on my right hip, and the diagnosis from that was, it's okay, it's just well-worn, it's age, you certainly don't need a hip replacement. However, it did show that I had ruptured the tendons in my hip, and this began to piece together all the side effects that I had had from taking this antibiotic. And interestingly, no doctors, surgeons or specialists had ever mentioned the possibility of any side effects of this antibiotic. And so with further side effects evident, under a doctor's advice, I stopped taking that drug. And even the cardiologist in May of that year said, I'm so pleased that you've stopped taking that because your heart aorta has enlarged, and we can say that's due to the effects of that antibiotic. In the meantime, my left ankle was becoming more painful and more stressful, and I booked in for an ankle fusion in early September. However, no doctor will do any surgery on me without the oversight of Dr. P.C. Lee. In fact, if he said no, there would be no operation. So I had this consult with PC. I certainly began to know him fairly well. And he informed me that, I also informed him that I probably may even be facing a hip replacement as well. He sat back in his chair, put his hands up, and he says, no, no, no. Don't have any further surgery. It's too dangerous for you. Because if that infection breaks out, you need to know that it will possibly mean the loss of your left leg. if you go ahead. It's too big a risk. But I was in a bad way. Most of you have seen me how I was getting around. I've got a whole stack of mobility gear home if anyone needs it. Well, anyway, I was in such a bad way, and I believe that God had healed me of that infection. And I went ahead with that ankle fusion. I had to be admitted 2 days prior and stay in for a further fortnight to have intravenous under the oversight of PC Lee to see if he could control any possible outbreak. In the meantime, 2 weeks before that op, I had to have an MRI to show that everything else was all good, but indicated perhaps my hip may be the problem. So I was booked in to see a hip specialist 3 months after that surgery, and yes, the hip was shot. And because I must say that for 3 months I couldn't put any weight bearing on that ankle, and every time I sit up you could hear my hip cracking and popping quite clearly. So it was the same procedure again under PC for 16 days, and I'm still a big worry. That was his comment and has been for many years. But I told him I'd be okay, everything's fine. And he kept shaking his head and saying to me, enough. And I conveyed to him many times that I didn't at once question the seriousness of what the outcomes could be. But I kept telling him that I'm healed, that all would be well, only to be told I'm too confident. I should perhaps point out that 4 days after I had the ankle operation, my left knee was always somewhat warmer than the right. Now, I've got also a prosthesis in the right. And 4 days later, I noticed that morning that it was cool, same temperature as the other. I didn't say anything. But that evening, when PC came for his regular daily checkup, he said, "Ooh, it's different." And I smiled. He said, "Oh," he said, "this is a bigger worry now." He said, "That's proved to me the infection is active. And where has it gone?" I said, "It's all fixed." No. Now, when I had that knee replacement in the left leg, they had to put a very long shaft right down my tibia bone to give stability. And it's only 150 mil from the ankle. And he said, "It's going to jump. It's going to jump." And I said, no, it's not even alive." Anyway, I've become a bigger worry to him. And I remember very clearly back in January in the second week when I had the hip replacement, after he's checking me out one night and I was sitting in a chair, he sat on the bed and he looked at me seriously and he said, "You have been extremely courageous to even attempt to have these two surgeries." And his head would keep shaking. And he kept saying, "This infection will break out." Well, at the end of the day, my journey over those last 28 months didn't happen. I've defied the medical prognosis. And last Saturday was 6 weeks after operation. See you again. And he told me earlier, if you get 6 weeks, you might be okay, but it will still happen. Well, I'm still a very big worry. So I continue to trust and believe in God's healing. By his grace and mercy, his hand has indeed been upon me. Now, back in late, 2018, when the medical issues of pain began to arise and take their toll on me, Raylene said to me, "I can see you being renewed like the eagle. You'll mount up and be renewed." Now, she was pretty confident, and I didn't feel too confident that procedure for this operation was a very good outcome. Attentive now to narcotics, you'd be given a light anaesthetic just to put you to sleep a bit, and when you wake up, you'll be bright as a button. Well, 10:30, I went in for the op. 12:30, I came to in the ICU, and he was right. I was bright as a button. There was no effects of anaesthetic. He said you wouldn't be out with the fairies, and I certainly wasn't. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, I was having a time of prayer and praise with God and thanking him for the surgery and for his healing. And then right out of the blue, suddenly a very clear voice said, "The church needs to know I am not a supermarket commodity. The church needs to know that I'm not a supermarket commodity." Well, there was silence for a while, I can tell you. And I found myself seeking the Lord to give me a clearer understanding of what this was all meant, because if it said, "Eldon, you need to know I'm not a supermarket commodity," I could understand a little more. But it was the church. It's revealed to me, we go to the supermarket to purchase our daily requirements for survival. Without that, we surely die. And we're not to take Jesus as a go-to just on the occasions where we really need him, when things are dire, and then fall back into a state of self-reliance and self-sufficiency. But Jesus is there all the time for us, every week, every day, every hour, every moment. He knows about us. He knows our own personal circumstances, our very own situation. We need to know this and be able to praise him and thank him for our circumstances, for his blessings every day. We need to have the faith to trust him, believe in him, that he will carry us through. As a Christian, one's relationship with Jesus is not to be taken lightly. It's a serious business, having a relationship with Jesus. All through Scripture, we read how the children of God, how a child of God will continually face trials and tribulations. We will go through times of trouble and challenges. It's guaranteed. We will face storms in our life. And as we overcome, our faith and belief grow stronger. We become more prepared for the next challenge. You see, in today's society, we believe that God has a wonderful plan for our life, and he certainly does. Don't get me wrong here. But in today's environment, this is sadly portrayed of a promise of earthly happiness, a problem-free life, and it encourages us into a love of self rather than God. The promise of the gospel has never been one of an enhanced life. We don't come to Christ for a better lifestyle, but to flee from the wrath to come. Tribulation drives a true believer closer to the Saviour. Each one of us has fallen short. Each one of us has sinned. And each one of us has broken the laws of the Ten Commandments. We are all sinners, and we need to make righteous with God through Jesus Christ. So then a relationship with Jesus is not complicated. Scripture tells us we have to have faith like a child. So I praise and give thanks to God for his wonderful grace and mercy, for his healing hand, for your phone calls, for your visits, and for your prayers, and particularly for your prayers. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I just want to close with these words from Psalm 103. We sang a song earlier, "How Great is Our God." And being a service of praise, I believe these words are very fitting. 103, first five verses. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles?" I just give God praise and thanks and give him the glory for how great he is. Thank you.
Eldon, for sharing that with us.